Now, once upon a time in professional wrestling, it used to matter what the fans thought.
For example, all you parents out there with kids, when your kids misbehave, you give the New Day a call. Yep. The New Day comes over to your house, and we will fight your children!
Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of wrestling sucks. But when it's good, it's fucking great. Wrestling is melodrama. Wrestling is mythology. Wrestling is action. Wrestling is comic books. The only thing wrestling isn't is wrestling.
Who wants to take back professional wrestling?
Welcome, everyone, to episode 171 of your favorite podcast, Around the Ring. I am your host, your Floyd and Savior, Floyd Johnson. With me is my co-host. On an early Sunday morning, we fell back. It's Ryan the Great Aaron. How you doing, Ryan?
I am doing well.
Dude, I was going to bring this up before the show, and I decided to wait on the show. Do you know, it only took 10 months, and I watched Evolution. I really wasn't into watching wrestling this week.
Really?
I watched it. Don't get me wrong. I watched what I was supposed to watch. I didn't want to. A lot of times I was doing other things. I was just, I wouldn't call it burnout. It's just, first of all, New Japan, everyone says after the G1, it's hard to come back. It was. I watched very little of the Super Junior Tag League. I was just, after G1 and then that show afterwards or whatever, the finals and then that show, I was exhausted. It was just a lot of wrestling in a little bit of time, you know?
No, yeah. It's definitely a lot of wrestling. There's no doubt about that.
And I love wrestling. And I'm gonna quit, about to quit watching wrestling. But this week, I don't know why it lined up this way. It was just like, it felt like a chore. And it never feels like a chore. Like watching Raw, and it was just building up to the Crown Jewel, which I wasn't going to watch. Then watching SmackDown, and it was just building up to the Crown Jewel, which I wasn't going to watch. It was just like, and I think Raw and SmackDown took me out of the rest of the week. Like, I love what happened on NXT. 205 Live was okay. And let me tell you, I watched 205 Live, and I think I was, like, looking at ESPN and stuff like that. I mean, I could not give an intelligent review of 205 Live because I wasn't into it. And then Impact came on Thursday night, and it took me until just this morning to watch it because I just really wasn't in the mood to watch it. They had a great match on that show, a match I really enjoyed. But it was like, I really enjoyed it. I still didn't want to watch it. They did the C by, they had the Honor by C last night on Impact, and I don't know any results from the show. I don't. I didn't watch
it. Yeah, I haven't seen that. I was going to watch it, but I probably will watch it eventually, but I don't know any results from it. I don't know any results from the New Japan show this week. Just the wrestling, kind of like you, the wrestling that was on TV, like WWE Impact, to me this week, it was just very blah. It was nothing great.
Yeah, it was just,
it wasn't
there.
Terrible, but it was just kind of on.
Yeah, we were talking before the show. I was like, I don't even think we got like an hour and a half worth of material today. You know, because, of course, generally we would do a full review of the most recent WWE show, but I don't want to review that show. Like I said, I don't think the show should have existed, so I don't want to review it. But I will review the major events of it, but I was just like, I just want everyone to know that happens to listen to this show. As much as I like wrestling and I talk about fandom and being an extreme fan, sometimes I do get tired. It just gets repetitive. You just need something to kind of punch you in the gut and say, man, pay attention to me. And I don't think anything this week did that.
I would agree with that statement.
Yeah, so after Evolution, which I thought was an amazing pay-per-view, it was just like everything else just seen. It was there. On just a note from Raw, On Raw, they announced Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey at Survivor Series. So that's going to be a big match at Survivor Series. You excited for that match?
Not really. But then again, I don't like the way Survivor Series is anymore. I don't like champion versus champion from each brand. I hate it. So I would much rather it be old school Survivor Series where they do the Survivor matches and stuff like that.
I used to be like the, you know, I used to be like that, and I wanted old school Survivor Series. Then I started watching New Japan, and pretty much every show's undercard is Survivor Series. 4-on-4, 5-on-5, 3-on-3.
I mean, it is, but it's, I don't know, there's just something about that one night a year where you have multiple matches to where it's not, like, the difference in the New Japan and the Survivor Series is in New Japan, the first pinfall and it's over.
Yeah.
In Survivor Series, you get those stories and you can build a star by putting them in a match and having them fight their way through it. Kind of like how they brought Dolph Ziggler back to the forefront a few years ago and had him come back and beat everybody.
Yeah, and then we had, what was I going to say? Yeah, one thing I missed the special team names. Like the Ultimate Maniacs and, you know.
Yeah, stuff like that.
I missed that. I missed the novelty of Survivor Series. Yeah, Survivor Series is in L.A. this year. That's the first match announced. I'm very excited about that match because Ronda Rousey has been on a different level. And, you know, Becky Lynch has stepped her game up so high as far as her promos. And even her in-ring work is more physical. And she's coming off the match. Amazing match with Charlotte. I you know what? I'm starting to accept Charlotte's amazing. I've always thought Charlotte was good. But I realized I only have one 5-star match and one like 4 3/4 stars match ever in women's history. And they both include Charlotte. So, yeah, she's pretty amazing.
She is really good.
Yeah, she's really good. And then on SmackDown, they announced, and this is an important stipulation. That's the only reason I bring it up. If whoever made it to the finals of the SmackDown Live side of the World Cup, if they lost, they basically were going to be fired from SmackDown. So that leads us into the two results we were going to discuss from the World Cup. One is the winner of the World Cup. So let me bring up the World Cup review. I know Rey Mysterio beat Randy Orton. And then The Miz beat Jeff Hardy. So that set up the finals of Rey Mysterio versus The Miz. And then Miz beat Rey Mysterio to be in the finals.
And Rollins beat Lashley, and Dolph beat Angle, and then Dolph beat Seth on the Raw side, apparently, according to Wikipedia.
With help from Drew. Okay. And so that set up a finals of Miz versus Dolph, which, again, I did not watch it. I promise you. They're like, oh, he watched it. No, I didn't. It was set up a heel versus heel dynamic. I have always been that way on a tournament. I think tournaments have been done so long and so many times that you can pretty much predict that it's going to be a face versus a heel in the finals, right? Or a face versus a face, a la Toni Storm versus Io Shirai. I want a heel versus heel final. So they had The Miz and Dolph Ziggler, and, you know, they are friends. They are both from Ohio. They go to Cleveland games together. They're very tight. And I was like, thinking of, like, reading the results, I was like, oh, man, that's going to be exciting. So apparently The Miz was injured in his match, and I say it like that, and I was putting up air quotes that you can't see because The Miz wasn't actually injured, a storyline injured. And so instead of him competing, Shane McMahon interjected himself into the final, and it was Shane McMahon versus Dolph Ziggler, who had already wrestled 2 matches. So, fresh guy versus a guy that wrestled 2 matches, and Shane McMahon beat Dolph Ziggler. I don't know if it was clean. I don't know what move. Honestly, don't know. I don't. I mean, let's be honest. I didn't care first of all. But I was just, yeah, let's see, let's read. Have you read? Did you see what happened?
I've seen three things from Crown Jewel. I've seen the picture of Shane holding the trophy, the picture of the new Universal Champ, and then a picture of Hogan. That's all I've seen from Crown Jewel.
All right, so McIntyre was banished from the ringside when the match began, and Miz attacked Ziggler as an effort to gain an early advantage. When Miz hopped outside the ring to continue attack Ziggler, he appeared to land horribly on his ankle, sold a major injury. It was made to look quite real, with Miz appearing in serious pain, but not like take long to appear to be clear work, as SmackDown Commissioner Shane McMahon, also at ringside, refused to allow Ziggler to win by forfeit. McMahon took off his own jacket, entered the ring, pummeling Ziggler. Corbin attempted to interfere but got tossed. Ziggler got the upper hand for a moment, but McMahon turned things around with an around-the-world DDT. With Ziggler prone in the corner, falling slingshot, Miz hit his own version of the Van Terminator from corner to corner to win. This is creative, though a bit confounding, but it definitely moves the needle ahead to Survivor Series. So, yeah, that's how Shane McMahon won. All right, so that's one of the results. What did you think about Shane McMahon winning the tournament to crown the best in the world?
My first thought was, that's stupid. My second thought was, why? And my third thought was, typical McMahon booking.
All right. My thoughts were, huh? My second thoughts were, Shane? He beat a real wrestler? Third thought was, oh, so it's building a storyline of Survivor Series. Cool. That was kind of my thing. It was just like, I didn't care about this show. And the fact that they didn't book any major storylines or anything major happen, I was okay with, because I didn't want anything major to happen on the show. Next thing would be the most significant thing to happen on the show. Because of Roman Reigns' unfortunate bout with leukemia, it was Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman for the Universal title. Yeah, so I was really excited about this. I was of the opinion that it was almost certainly going to go to Braun, so the Universal title would be on Raw every week. But my actual opinion, and this is complete hindsight being 2020, if you don't believe me, that's cool. My own opinion was Brock should win it, because that way when Brock lost it, it would, you know, potentially make a new star. And I don't think with Braun winning at a show that a lot of people weren't watching made any sense. Did you have any thoughts before this match?
Not really. The only thought I had was it had been nice to see Drew McIntyre get in there some way in a triple threat, but if you were to put him in it, he would have had to have – there's no way he could have took the loss as big as he's been built right now, so it made sense to him not putting him in it. But outside of that, I had no thoughts on it. I kind of assumed Brock would win, because if he's in a match and it's for a belt, he generally wins. But I didn't have any like actual like thought-provoking ideas about it.
All right. Brock defeats Braun Strowman via pinfall to win the vacant title. This is what happened. Before the match, Raw General Manager Baron Corbin ringside to oversee the vacant title fight brought the Universal title into the ring and hit Braun Strowman over the head with it. This was revenge for Braun Strowman power slamming him on Monday. Lesnar proceeded to hit Braun Strowman with three F5s, attempting to pin him after each one. Strowman kept kicking it out. Lesnar hit the F5 on Strowman over the top ropes, throwing him outside the ring and onto the floor. Strowman beat the 10 count once back inside. Lesnar hit him with one more F5 to regain the Universal title. While you might not like the result, this was a surprise, and WWE deserved some credit for that. Still, with no offense from Strowman, they were giving it a rating, and they gave it a D+. What do you think of how Brock won? No offense. It was literally belt over the head, F5, 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 F5 to the outside, come back in, F5. So Braun Strowman took four F5s before he was finally beaten with the fifth.
I mean, I'm not necessarily surprised, I guess. I wish that Braun would have got a little bit of offense in the match. Not that it would make me go back and watch it, but I don't know if I like the idea of the biggest and baddest man on your roster getting squashed, because I feel like Braun's bigger and badder than Brock Lesnar. Yeah, it's, I don't get it. It's just, it's a money thing. The people that paid for the show probably, they're like, yeah, we want Brock Lesnar. Okay, they got Brock Lesnar, and they're going to make them happy, give him the belt. And we probably won't see the title defended till Mania.
No, Survivor Series.
It won't be defended at Survivor Series.
They've already announced the match.
He's going against AJ.
Yeah.
But it's not going to, the title won't be on the line.
Oh, you said the title defended. You did say that. You did say title defended. It'll be defended at the Rumble. He'll beat somebody up at the Rumble. I think, so AJ versus Rock again. A lot of people loved the AJ versus Brock last year. And, you know, Brock won, of course. But a lot of people won. A lot of people loved that match. Do you think they go with the same result this year? Or do you think AJ gets the surprising upset? Or do you even think AJ is going to be the champion going into Survivor Series? How do you think this is going to break down?
I think AJ will be the champ going into Survivor Series. I mean, I'm not aware of anything from what little bit I've seen on Twitter that would put him in defending his title to where he would lose it before Survivor Series in, what, 3 weeks now? Two, 3 weeks?
Yeah. Remember last year, the start of AJ's title run is because Nobuno wanted to see Jinder Mahal versus Jinder Mahal versus Brock Lesnar in the Survivor Series.
That's true. That's true. But no, I don't see it changing hands. I don't see AJ winning. They may have a very similar match where AJ gets some offense in, just because it's AJ. I didn't enjoy the match last year, being there in attendance and watching it back once I got home. I still didn't like it. I don't want to see it again, because it's rare that when Brock Lesnar's in a match, it's anything more than a squash. And when it's not, it's because something happens and he goes to the outside and then he just comes back and he destroys everybody and it still looks like a squash match.
Yeah, like I said, I was not as high on the AJ Styles versus Brock match last year because the first 8 minutes of it was just Brock beating the shit out of AJ Styles. Then AJ Styles got some offense, got the calf crusher on, then got F5'd and lost. And it looked like he pushed Brock to the limit, but still it was just 8 minutes of boring before that. So it's like the 8 minutes of boring took me out of the end of the match. So I don't know. But yeah, so those are the two matches we have for Survivor Series so far. Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles, Ronda versus Becky Lynch. Those are two, I mean, shit, if you're trying to sell out a building, those are two great matches to do it with. Also news in the DX versus Undertaker Kane match, Triple H tore pectoral muscle, and he has to have surgery when he gets back. Most of the timelines on pectoral muscles is 4 to 6 months. So if he is the 145-year-old man that heals quickly, he may be back for WrestleMania. But at this point in time, it looks like he won't be at WrestleMania, which I'm actually happy about because it opens up a spot for someone else.
Huh. I did not know he had got hurt.
Yeah. They did a spot where he got through into the turnbuckle and did the bounce where he flips out and goes out of the ring and he tore his pectoral muscle.
Well, that sucks.
It does suck. I don't want anybody to get hurt, and that's why I kind of it's wrestling. It's a physical sport. I understand people get hurt. But, you know, I immediately go into the positive aspect of things. The positive aspect is that there was generally going to be a match with Triple H, and it was generally going to be a match that went like 23 minutes. Now you can put someone in there that's not Triple H and let them have a match.
That is true.
Yeah. Shawn Michaels said after the match that this was his last match again. He felt like this was a one-time shot and he won't be coming back, which basically means unless you throw him a lot of money, he won't be coming back.
Yeah. Fuck that guy. That's just, he wasted and he ruined his legacy. To me, he ruined his legacy with the way he was talking about his retirement just to come back for that money. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of money. It's hard to say no to, but he shit on a lot of fans coming back for that, in my opinion.
He's a worker. Workers work. Workers make money. I have no problem with it. I didn't watch the match, so in my mind, Shawn Michaels' last match was versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Still.
Yeah.
But if he has a match at WrestleMania this year, I'll have to watch it because I'll be there. So therefore, then at that point, it would be ruined. But I didn't see this match. I haven't seen a spot from it. I haven't seen anything.
Just going through the Twitter here, there's actually been one more match announced for Survivor Series.
What?
The United States champion Shinsuke Nakamura versus the Intercontinental champion Seth Rollins.
Okay. So that's the third match. So they are doing the champion versus champion thing. I don't know if Seth Rollins will be the Intercontinental champion by then because of his feud with Dean Ambrose. And Nakamura, I'm pretty sure, is still going to be U.S. title because basically SmackDown Live doesn't give a shit about the U.S. title. So, whatever.
Yeah, but that will probably get new tag team champions for Raw and a crown at Survivor Series.
Exactly. Yeah, with that, I couldn't see it being anybody other than AOP, but maybe somebody else pulls it out. Yeah, but that's the major events from the Saudi Arabia show. All that watch it, I have no problem if you watched it. Not that you care if I had a problem, but I had no problem if you watched it. I hope you enjoyed it. I mean, I hope everyone enjoys wrestling anytime it's on. Hulk Hogan hosted the show. And I hope he did a really great job. I'm actually a big fan of Hulk Hogan. I have no problem with him. For one of the weirder moments is I don't have any problem with him. But, yeah, I hope you enjoyed it. Now on to NXT. This week, big event from NXT to me was the debut of Matt Riddle. And we watched the show. So it started with Nikki Cross versus Mercedes Martinez. I love Mercedes Martinez. I love Mercedes Martinez. People don't understand. It's like when you're in wrestling, like wrestling's not a football. You don't have to have a favorite person and only root for that person and only care. I have a ton of favorites. But in my top five of women is Mercedes Martinez. First of all, she looks tough. Second of all, she works tough. And she just has this – she has – again, an ass-kicker presence, which I bring that up very much. So she was fighting Nikki Cross in this match. Do you remember the match, Ryan?
I do. It was a decent match. It was hard-hitting, kind of like what you said. I was shocked as all get out when I saw it, when Mercedes Martinez came out. It was like I didn't think she would be working NXT, but I guess these were tapings right after the Mae Young Classic, so they had the people, so they went ahead and used them a little bit more, I guess. I would love to see her sign with WWE, but I don't think it happens. But the match was really good. It was solid. There wasn't, like, any memorable spots, like, just crazy spots to remember. It was just one of those hard-hitting, let's-go kind of matches.
Yeah, and that's awesome. I think Mercedes would... If, like, they wanted to do another faction that mixed men and women, Mercedes Martinez would be a strong member of any faction with men. I think that just fits her personality. She's just so tough that would be cool. This match was really cool. Nikki Cross hit the purge. I don't know how they get to call a move that, you know, with that franchise, but she hit the purge and got the 1-2-3. They had this moment. Basically, Nikki Cross was crazy, and Mercedes Martinez was showing there, hey, I'm just as crazy. And they kind of had that mutual respect thing, and she left. Then out came Candice LeRae, right?
Yes.
And she got in Nikki's face, said she's trying to ruin her life. I've heard some different rumors throughout the world that I've been hearing some different rumors about Candice LeRae's involvement with this rivalry, but Nikki Cross just kind of, you know, does the crazy face and walks away. And did anything else happen there?
Yeah. Okay. Nikki Cross got to the stage, and then she started to walk out, and then she backpedals across the stage, and out comes Aleister Black, and he goes to the ring, and he talks to Candice.
Yeah, he looks at Candice. He looks at Candice LeRae and basically kind of tells her, you know, I'm going to fuck up your husband or whatever.
Basically, yeah. There's no mic, so you couldn't really hear what was said. It just looked really intense.
Yeah. Then we had the Street Profits versus the Mighty. The Street Profits finally got their win back on the Mighty, who stole their cups. That was the thing, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it was reversing the suplex attempt for gravity. Oh, okay, yeah. So he got a frog splash, and so they got the three. And it says, oh, how the mighty have fallen. That was funny. And then General Manager William Regal announces NXT Championship match for TakeOver War Games 2. He gave the match to Velveteen Dream. How excited are you for this match, Tommaso Ciampa versus Velveteen Green?
As far as the match itself, I'm not, like, incredibly excited. It'll be good, don't get me wrong. It'll be a good match. But I'm pumped for the build-up and the back and forth that these two are going to have on the mic.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Velveteen Dream and Ciampa, I mean, they've both been a part of five-star matches this year. So, that being said, you know, Dave Meltzer rated five-star matches. I'm really excited to see what they do. I'm looking forward to, weirdly enough, I'm looking forward to Velveteen Dream's tights.
Yeah, that'll be interesting because he always brings them out for TakeOver. You never know what you're going to see.
So, I'm wondering if he's going to have, like, the NXT belt on front. And what he's going to do is he's going to have, like, a picture of a black heart because, you know, that's what Tommaso Ciampa. I'm like, it's funny. I am more excited about how his tights are going to be designed than I am about the match. And I'm over the moon about the match. Like, seriously, I said this earlier. I'm setting the bar at 4.5 stars. That's my bar. If it's anything less than 4.5 stars, it's disappointing to me. Just because I know what these two can bring as far as in the ring.
Interesting. I'm expecting 4, and if I get 4, I'll be happy.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that, but I remember when Velveteen Dream is in there with someone better than him, he puts on amazing matches. I'm thinking Aleister Black. I'm thinking EC3. He brought EC3 up to his level, which I thought was really cool. And, you know, and it's just when he's in there with people better than him, the Gargano match, he puts on really amazing matches. So Tommaso Ciampa is the best heel in wrestling right now. WWE, all WWE, indies, whatever you want, the best heel in wrestling is Tommaso Ciampa. He is the one person that gets booed and can consistently stay booed. And it's not go away heat. People are booing him out of respect. So
that's a good point.
Yeah. So we got Matt Riddle versus Luke Menzies. Now, I just want to throw everyone, the King of Bros, Matt Riddle. I think everybody knows. If you're listening to this show, you're a wrestling nerd, you know who Matt Riddle is. Former UFC star. Luke Menzies is not as known, but he has a superstar build. I think he might be a part of a tag team or something. He has that look. You know who he reminds me of? And this is weird. He seems like a more in-shape Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker from back in the day. Do you remember
that? Yeah. I do, from WCW, yeah.
Yeah, so it just seems... he just seems like a more in-shape version of him. So in my head, that just puts him in tag team. But he's a former rugby star. Him signing with the WWE was big was big news because he was a star at rugby. Him and Matt Riddle put on a great match. Matt Riddle used those knees and then locked in the Bro Mission, which I've seen the Bro Mission before, but it was described, and I thought they did a great job of describing it. And he's like, it's laid out abdominal stretch. And I was like, oh, that is what it is. Because it looks like something I'd never seen before, but once you, if you turn your head the right way, oh, he's just doing an abdominal stretch on the ground where he can elbow them in the head.
Yeah, and it looks painful.
It does look painful. He was really, really over. Really, really over. Only thing, I'll be very honest, the only thing I don't like about Matt Riddle is the whole not wearing shoes thing. It's a very UFC feel. It's awesome or whatever, but it just bothers me. I don't know why. It was like, to me, in my mind, I go back to Kevin Von Erich, everybody else should wear shoes after that. How about you? What do you think?
No, that's, yeah, Kevin, excuse me, Kevin Von Erich's the man with no shoes. I don't hate it, but I wish he wore shoes of some kind. I haven't seen a lot of Riddle, but yeah, I wish you would put on some shoes. And then once he gets to the main roster, whenever that midday may come, he will have shoes on, I bet.
Yeah. Because
Vince hates no shoes.
I think it's going to be quicker than you think. I think Matt Riddle might debut at Royal Rumble. He's one of those people, he just looks ready. He has the look that you want. I think NXT is amazing. I love NXT. I prefer NXT to the main roster. But in Vince's mind, having him on NXT is a waste of time.
He went to NXT to get TV ready.
Yeah. So
to TV train, that's what it was.
Yeah. So he'll put you in that Bro Mission. And they haven't did they announce him versus Cassius Ohno at the next show or not? No, they didn't.
No, not that I know of.
So right now all we have for TakeOver is we have the main event, Velveteen Dream versus Tommaso Ciampa. We also have Johnny Gargano versus Aleister Black. There's no stipulation at this time. I feel like there's going to be a stipulation. And then we have another match that's going to be announced that we'll talk about in just a second. So then we got Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch versus Raul Mendoza and Humberto Carrillo. I just felt like this was a basic squash tag team match. I mean, I do like they let Carrillo and Mendoza have a few moves, but this was basically about getting Oney and Danny Burch over.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Mendoza and Humberto, I don't know anything about them. I don't even know if I've ever seen them, but
you've seen Mendoza a lot. He was in the Cruiserweight Classic. I always say, he's the first guy the new guy usually comes in and faces.
Oh, okay. They were both athletic as all get out, it seemed.
Yeah, they were very athletic wrestlers. Then we had it was supposed to be the War Raiders versus Adam Cole and
Bobby
Fish. The War Raiders attacked them before. We had an epic, epic fight. I mean, one of the highlights is Adam Cole got lawn darted against a trailer. Ricochet runs across the group. I think he jumps on a table and then jumps into a crowd of people. Then you had Pete Dunne get involved. It was just an all out. I haven't seen this in a very long time brawl. It ended up in the ring. William Regal said, "Hey, if you want to kill each other, you're going to do it at War Games." So we get the War Games that I loved, my traditional War Games. 4-on-4, 4-man faction, the Undisputed Era against a team of Pete Dunne, the War Raiders, and King Ricochet. Only thing I don't like about this, and I have to say it before I get your comments, is that all the belts that they have locked up in this one show, or one match. So it means you're not going to get a UK title match. You're not going to get a North American title match, the brand new North American title. And then you're not going to get a tag team title match because they're all in one match. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't like that because generally speaking, at TakeOver, the tag matches are incredible for the belt. Those are, in my opinion, either match of the night or number two easily of the weekend. They're always incredible. I don't like that, but as soon as that brawl started, it was very predictable. This was going to be the War Games announcement. And they picked a good group to throw in there. It's gonna be entertaining. Ricochet is gonna flip off some stuff. Adam Cole is gonna dive off the top of the cage again. Hanson and Rowe are gonna beat the hell out of everybody. It's gonna be fun.
All right. So yeah, that's definitely gonna be. But if I had to guess what we're gonna get at TakeOver War Games, it's going to be. It's going to be that match. It's going to be the world title match. We're going to get Shayna against someone. We're going to get Matt Riddle versus Cassius Ohno, and then Johnny Gargano and Aleister Black. And that looks like that's what TakeOver LA is going to look or TakeOver. That's what TakeOver
War Games
is going to look like. So with that, let's just assume that's the lineup. Let's just assume we get Kyrie versus Shayna again. Which I don't think we're going to get. I think it's going to be Shayna versus Bianca Belair or Nikki Cross. I think Bianca Belair probably. So let's just say we get Shayna versus Kyrie. We're going to put that in there as the holder. What do you think about TakeOver War Games?
It's a good card. It's probably the best card because the last few, like the card itself has been underwhelming, but it's always a great show. If that is the card, it's probably the best card in the last couple takeovers.
Yeah, it's definitely a very good card. I am looking forward to the traditional 4-on-4 War Games match. Let me give you a spoiler. The bad guys are going to win the coin toss.
Of course. They have to.
Yeah, the bad guys always win the coin toss. Or something, or they do something different. Like at MLW, the good guys won the coin toss. But then the bad guys jumped Shane Strickland before he could go in and give them any type of advantage. So it's always something, but NXT tends to go traditional, and traditional is the bad guys are going to win the coin toss. I'm really looking forward to this show. It's one of those situations. If I didn't have so much coming up, I would fly into L.A., watch the show, and then fly back out. I wouldn't even stay for Survivor Series. I would just go watch NXT. I am one of those people, and I think that might be something going on for it. But as far as until the main roster, you know, gets better, that, you know, when I go to these places, I'm just going to go, like, oh, I'm going to go to Money in the Bank. I'm going to go to TakeOver. And I haven't seen Money in the Bank, so I would go to Money in the Bank's a bad example. Let's just say Royal Rumble in Phoenix. I would go to TakeOver, and then I would fly home. And then watch the Royal Rumble at home. Because the main roster doesn't excite me. I'm not looking forward to Raw. I'm kind of looking forward to Shane's storyline on SmackDown. But the NXT, I can't wait till next week. You know, every week I feel that way on NXT. Even in this week where I didn't really want to watch NXT, by the time I was watching it, I was like, oh, I wonder what they're going to do next week. And that's what I want out of wrestling. That's what I want out of wrestling. If I had to shorten it in one sentence, I want to look forward to the next show.
No, yeah, I agree. NXT is the best hour of wrestling on TV every week. It was number two there while the Mae Young Classic was on because that was just some of the best, and that was incredible. But NXT on a normal week-to-week basis is the best hour of wrestling on TV each week, hands down.
How WCW Nitro beat WWF back in the day is with the line, we'll see you next week.
Exactly.
We're out of time, we'll see you next week was the whole thing. They ended that way for 2 years. That line made you bubble in your stomach and can't wait to Nitro the next week. I haven't felt that way about Raw in a long time.
Yeah, no, exactly. Because with Nitro, when it was on, you wanted to be there for that opening segment to see what the hell happened when it went off the air.
Yep.
And then that built to the end of the show where the main event, and you were hooked.
And then Braun Strowman, like this week, Braun Strowman going after Baron Corbin because he's going to be pissed. I think that could be funny. You know, I think it could be funny, but that's my line. I think it could be funny. But I'm not excited to see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't get my gut. It's like I'm not having any. I remember I used to have a hard time sleeping on Sunday nights because I knew Raw was the next day. That's it for our NXT coverage. NXT UK has been really good. I would definitely suggest a match this week with Noam Dar and Zach Gibson. It was a really good match. Did you watch NXT UK?
I'm gonna be honest. The only NXT UK match I have seen was the first match of the first show with Mark Andrews, because I just have not had time to make time to sit down and go watch it.
Yeah, your life is very, very busy right now, which I thank you for watching what we need to watch to do the show. I appreciate you for that, but I understand. Like yesterday, you were gone all day.
Yeah, yesterday I woke up at 5:30 in the morning. I got home about 2:30 from my son's first wrestling tournament, and then cooked some food and then left and went over to a friend's house and got home about 1:30 this morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. You're consistently busier than me, you know, and it's like that is why your commitment to the show is super appreciated, because you're one of the busiest people that I know, and you still make time to watch the wrestling that we need you to watch to be on here. So thank you for that.
No problem.
So, so it's Impact. Impact Wrestling this week was continued from their taping from the New York episode. I got the results here. It was a big – I was talking to how excited I was about the show, because you had LAX versus Matt Sydal and Ethan Page, Pentagon Jr. versus Homicide, the new Desi Hit Squad – you had Willie Mack versus Rich Swann. That started the show, which should be a main event anytime it's on Impact Wrestling, but that started the show. Then you had Tessa Blanchard versus Talia Valkyrie. So we started with Willie and Rich Swann. Freaking love Willie Mack. Freaking love Rich Swann. What did you think about the tag team that came in face on face having a match at the beginning?
It was a good match, probably easily match of the night. I'm not a big fan of either of these guys, really. They are not that they're. I think they're bad. It's just there's something about them that doesn't click. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's with Rich Swann that he's just so damn happy all the time that it drives me nuts. And then Willie Mack, I don't know if it's just because I'm still stigmatized from watching him for the 3 weeks or whatever it was that I watched him on Lucha Underground that I couldn't get into it. But I'm going to try to get – now that he's on Impact and all that, I'm hoping he can change my opinion. It was a good match. And, yeah, this was – it should have probably been main evented the show.
I hate the coast-to-coast thing that he does. I hate it that it's in every match. I feel like it should be a special move, and it feels ridiculous how long that other guy has to hold on to the ropes to set up the move.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's like when Neville when he does the Red Arrow or whatever it was called, the longest finisher to do in wrestling history. Why are you still sitting there? As Zack Sabre Jr. would say, just get the hell out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. You got Rich Swann flipping and all that stuff. So you're saying he's not strong enough to pull himself up and unhook himself from the ropes? Is that what you're saying? Because that's what it looks like. But in the end, Rich Swann gets the win. Now, Willie Mack's a pretty big name in the indies. What do you think about him losing his first singles match in Impact?
I was kind of shocked by it. Because he has been the last, I don't know, at least 6 months, I know, he's been big on the indies. I mean, he had an NWA title shot, for crying out loud. That's pretty big.
He is the current NWA national champion.
Oh, that's right. He did win the belt at that show. So, yeah, I definitely don't get him losing. And with him being on Impact, I don't know the legalities and stuff. If he's going to stay on Impact, I would like to see him get it worked out where he could carry that NWA belt on the show to where it could push some more viewers to NWA.
Very much so. That would be cool. So Rich Swann hits his Phoenix Splash and gets the 1-2-3 on Willie Mack. We then get back from commercial break. OVE brags about how they are only ones to ever defeat Brian Cage and how they plan to bring meaning back to the X Division Championship. They invite Brian Cage to their turf in Ohio. Yeah, so Gamak Singh comes out and introduces Raj Singh as part of the improved Desi Hit Squad. And then they basically get a squash match against somebody, some people call the Beach Bums?
Something wow. Like that, yeah.
No, like I just read it. It's the Beach Bums. Yeah, they get a knee to the brain, and it was 1-2-3. And the Desi Hit Squad wins. Then they go back to what they do best, the Impact promo. They air a promo of the OGs walking the streets with King, and King says they're still on top and they're still untouchable. So they got them in the streets of New York walking and talking. I love these. I love these vignettes or segments or promos. They're the best thing in wrestling to me. I just think they're so raw and so real. In this one, King talks about how, you know, the bosses have said he can't touch Conan anymore, so he has to get to Conan in alternate ways. So they're attacking Rey Fénix and Pentagon, and he's like, yeah, Conan used Juventud. He brought up Juventud. And he's like, now he got his new boys, Rey and Pentagon, and he's using them. I was like, that is hilarious because it's a lot of the rumors on the internet is that Conan's kind of a user. So that's kind of, he's so well connected with everybody, but, you know, he's kind of a user. And I thought it was very hilarious that, I'm pretty sure Conan's one of the people, I wouldn't say writing, but he's giving notes to what he wants the OGs to say. This is real gang warfare, and I love it. What did you think?
Yeah, the LAX OGs story, it's still the best story on TV week to week in pro wrestling. I love it. When he brought up Hoovy and he couldn't get the name right, he's like, who? Hoovy, what? And he brought up Psychosis. That was cool to see that brought up. But yeah, that segment was really good. And the fact that they're having to, that the leaders of the group or whatever, the old men, the wise men, the godfathers, they're saying, look, you can't touch Conan. So they're shifting over into the Pentagon, Rey Fénix, and they're tying in MLW stuff. I really like that. And I really want to see how far this goes now that they're bringing in Fénix and Pentagon into the feud.
Yeah, definitely. When you get into it, it's taking in any consideration. And it's like it gave you a logical reason that the LAX and OGs aren't fighting anymore. And even at the end result, they never got involved because they're told basically not to touch each other anymore. So then we get a video package of Moose and Eddie's tumultuous relationship. Let me tell you, this feud's not hitting for me. I just don't care. How do you feel about it?
I fast-forwarded through that segment.
Yeah, I just don't care. Eddie Edwards, they tried to give him – they's like, oh, you don't have a personality, so we'll just give you Tommy Dreamer's personality. And he doesn't do it as good as Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah, it's felt very flat with me. I've never been an Eddie Edwards fan. And this right here has made it to where I like him even less. I don't like the character he's doing. It's to me, it's not hitting with me. Take away, I'm not, this is nothing to do with ring work, just the character itself. It's not hitting, and I fast forward every time he's doing a promo here lately.
Yeah, and something about Moose's voice. It's like, and somebody might get mad at me for saying it. I like Moose. You know, I got a Moose shirt. I do the Moose thing when he comes out. His voice when cutting a promo, he almost sounds like he's not smart. I think that's the best way I can say it without offending some group of people.
I haven't really thought about it, so I don't, I mean.
No, it's like he talks like he doesn't know what he's going to say next almost. I don't know.
That's, I can see that. Like, he's just talking to talk, and whatever he says, he says.
Yeah, and it's just like, I don't know. I love Moose. I just, he's one of those people. Some people are built to promos. Some people need a manager. Moose needs a manager.
That is very true.
I thought Austin Aries was going to be that guy. They might bring somebody in. I just think. There's a lot of options out there. Even if you wanted to work with MVP as a non-worker and just bring MVP in to cut promos for Moose, I think that would happen because he's Money Moose. He's the playmaker. He's all that stuff. You know, he needs a manager.
No, I agree. I agree completely.
Yeah, and maybe, yeah. Not a Leo Rush, but he needs somebody similar. Then we get OVE in Ohio, and of course they do the gimmick where they bring out a fake Brian Cage, and then they just beat him up. And I thought it would be funny if I hadn't seen it so much. Because the dude was jacked. He's just not Brian Cage jacked.
Oh, yeah, he was a big boy, but nobody's Brian Cage.
Yeah, it was like soon as he came out, I was like, that's not Brian Cage. Brian Cage is the largest human I've seen in my life. Then they actually have an angle I'm actually interested in. We had Eli Drake going in, and he found Joseph Parks, who, of course, they do the thing where no one knows Joseph Parks is Abyss. And he goes in, and he talks to him, and Joseph Parks comes up with the idea of making the suit against Impact Wrestling a class action lawsuit. And he says that's how he's going to, you know, like, make his money. And Eli Drake basically insults him the whole thing. And it's hilarious to me. Eli Drake is, I would call, the extreme opposite of Moose. I like his voice. He can pretty much say anything he wants. He just has,
I agree.
He has a cadence. He has a way of delivery. He is just magic on the mic.
Yeah, Eli is one of the best talkers in wrestling.
Yeah, and it's just like, dummy, yeah, he could say stuff like that. It makes no sense, but it's so good. And he just harasses and insults everybody. You could be trying to help him, and he's going to insult you. And I dig it. Because, you know, I know people like that. I know people that are just dicks. He's a dick. He's not a heel. He's not a face. He's a dick. No, but yeah, definitely. Eli Drake, one of the best on the business. Then we get Scarlett Bordeaux greets Gama Singh in the Desi Hit Swat. Gama tries to serenade her with songs, but Raju said, you know, he's old and married or whatever. Scarlett brings up her talent search, and it was kind of funny because she did the thing. You're from India, right? Didn't they invent the Kama Sutra? I just thought that was so yay. It was just like, it's one of those things. I always said if I won $1 billion, I would make an adult show. I mean, like an American-based wrestling show that is for adults. Like, you would have to be 18 to come to my show. And, yeah, one of my stars of my show would be Scarlett Bordeaux. Because she just brings it back back to the Attitude Era to me, and it's just she's just I love the not very thinly veiled sexual come ons, and I just and of course she's gorgeous. Did you have any thoughts on either one of these segments?
I didn't. I agree with what you're saying, but I didn't really have a whole lot of thoughts on them.
It was kind of just there.
Yeah, they were. It was time filler.
Yeah, I mean, the show was kind of that way. I honestly, I just didn't want to put in a 45-minute show, so I'm trying to put some fillers into this because it's pretty much we have this and then the top five. So I didn't just want to put out, like, a 45-minute show like we didn't care because we do care. It just wasn't a lot to talk about. Not this week, anyway. Then we had Taya versus Tessa. I am not the biggest fan of Taya Valkyrie. She works really well with Tessa. What did you think about this match?
I thought this was really good. I enjoyed it. Taya is somebody that she's good in the ring, but I don't view her as someone that can carry a match, like, and make it where if she's in there with somebody of lesser quality, she's not. I don't think she can make it a great match. It'll be a solid match, but she can put on a great match when she's in there with the right competition.
Yeah, let me tell you. Yes, like I saw her at Oklahomania 2, and I was unimpressed. I saw her at Oklahomania 3, and I was unimpressed. She doesn't really move the needle for me, but when she's working with people that are good, like Tessa Blanchard, who's one of the best in the business, she works well. So... she works well, and I thought this was a really good match. What did you think about the screw job or the ending where Tessa just knocks out the referee?
I loved it. Very much 80s, 90s heel wrestling. Just look, this I don't want to do this. I'm getting all I can handle or all I can have. I'm not going to risk it. I'm just going to get myself DQ'd. It would zero care in the world, and she did it. And I loved it.
So for this year, and this year only, 2018, it looks like my Christmas is November 8th. Because on the next video package, we get the announcement of the debut of Thick Mama Pump. I kept messing up her name. I called her Little Mama Pump. It's Thick Mama Pump. Jordynne Grace debuts on Impact. Now, I think Jordynne Grace is an amazing wrestler. And if you follow her on Twitter, she is a hilarious follower. She follows. She has a way of thinking. And if you don't think her way, you're stupid, which is fine. And she will call wrestling fake all the time. She'll talk about intergender wrestling. She will. If you go at her, she will come at you harder. She is almost, when it comes to social media, she is the female Austin Aries. She does not let anything slide. She is tweeting on other people's subtweets, anything. She's there and attacking you. So I love her personality. But she's amazing in the ring. And and we got to meet her, and she was super nice. Just awesomely nice. So she debuts next week, probably in a squash match of some sort. But she really got over in her promo how strong she is. Are you excited about her debut?
I am pumped. She is. I love watching Jordynne Grace. She's really good in the ring. She's somebody that when they announced the Mae Young Classic 2, I was hoping she would have been in it, and she wasn't. But the fact that it's been rumored that she signed a 2-year deal with Impact, and Impact does a really good job with the women's division, getting them on TV and giving them good storylines. That's great because she is going to be a focal point, I think, for at least the next 2 years.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, with her addition, Impact to me is the number two women's division in the country, maybe in the world, because the talent that they have. And, you know, Sue Young can wrestle anywhere. Tessa Blanchard can wrestle anywhere. You know, Jordynne Grace. Taya Valkyrie Hey, you know, she has wrestled everywhere. Jordynne Grace is one of those people that literally, she's like the Black Label Pro Champion. She works Shine. She works Shimmer. She works the Reality of Wrestling. She is a full-time worker as a wrestler, and now she has her Impact brand, and she's just going to bring that level of high level of wrestling and professionalism to the show. So I'm looking forward to that. And for me, I don't know what everyone's type is. She fits perfectly into the type of woman I'm attracted to. So that also helps for me. Then we had Matt Sydal and Ethan Page against what I consider one of the better tag teams in the world, LAX. And this match didn't disappoint. I was very entertained by it. It wasn't just there. It was like they actually, you know, had a match. What did you think?
It was good. When I first saw it and saw that they were going to have this match, I thought it was going to be one of those, kind of like what you said, it was just kind of there and filler. But it ended up being really good. And, yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm not a big Sydal fan, and I'm even less of a Page fan. But, I don't have a lot of words for it, but it definitely was above the bar that I set it on. Like, I was hoping to get 2 stars out of this, because that's what I think about Bourne and Page, and it was a solid match.
Definitely, definitely. LAX gets the win, I think, with the Street Sweeper. I think that's what it's called. They hit their finisher to get the win. We get a backstage segment with Ali apologizing to Kira Young, Hogan. Kira, in one of the worst acting segments of the night. I really do enjoy their segments, but this is one of the worst acting segments of the night. Kira forces Ali to tell her that she left her soul and that the darkness is taking over her mind. And Kira promises that they'll finish Su Young together, which this is one of those obvious wrestling things. It's obvious Allie's going to turn to be with Su Young. You know what I mean?
Yeah, somebody's turning on somebody in that segment. It's going to be Allie.
Yeah, or maybe Rosemary comes back and brings Allie to her side, but something like that's going to happen. Then we get our main event, Homicide versus Pentagon. Very much, I like this match. I don't like the ending at all. Pentagon Jr. is widely considered one of the best wrestlers in the world. And to have to beat someone like Homicide, you know, who's old and past his prime with a schoolboy, I didn't like the finish. What did you think about the whole match?
To me, it was very underwhelming. It was probably the at least second, maybe even third best match on the night. It didn't deliver on what I wanted it to deliver with. I really didn't have a lot of expectations, but I was hoping it would be at least a solid match, and this fell below average for me.
Yeah, it was kind of like they realized that this was just going to be a throwaway Impact match, and they decided not to go all out. Or they had 2 more matches in the taping and they decided not to go all out. I don't feel like they went all out, which kind of disappoints me because that's what I think Pentagon Jr. does every time is go all out. But Pentagon Jr. gets the win. LAX, of course, attacks Pentagon, and then Ray comes out. King hits him with the sock or whatever, the slapjack.
Yeah.
Knocks him out, and we end with LAX on top, right?
Yes.
And next week is the final hour, of course. Jordynne Grace debuts. We get Johnny Last Name versus Killer Cross. I think those are the big matches that I know of. Did you remember anything else?
I don't.
Yeah.
And next week, I'm going to I don't know. I don't read spoilers and stuff, but I would imagine the title match is going to go one of 2 ways. Killer Cross is going to win in a squash. and get the belt, or there's going to be some kind of like outside interference, because there's no way Johnny last name, as you called him, is going to beat Killer Cross clean.
Yeah, so yeah, we get Killer Cross and Johnny last name. Then we get Edwards and Moose. And then we get Eli Drake and Joseph Park address Impact Wrestling. That is Final Hour. So, yeah, as far as the product, I don't like Johnny last name as champion. I would love to say I gave it a fair shot, but I'm not that big a fan of him in the first place. I thought Austin Aries was way more charismatic and carried the belt and made it seem bigger than Mr. Impact. What do you think?
Yeah, it's not a slight to him. Johnny last name to me is more of a I don't know the word I'm looking for, but he's more of a TV title, US title, Intercontinental, North American. He's, I guess, a secondary title.
A mid-card champion.
Yeah, he's a mid-card champion to me, which is not a bad thing, and it's not saying that he's not good. It's just, to me, the world champion of a major promotion on TV should be either rising stars, a larger-than-life talent / personality, or somebody that can just outright go in the ring. And he's athletic as hell. There's zero doubt about that. It's just, I don't know. I don't buy it from him with some of the people that you compete with at the world title level, especially with the way they've been doing an Impact here lately. Like, Austin Aries could wrestle circles around Impact. I don't buy Impact beating Killer Cross. I don't buy him beating Moose. There's just so many people that are going to be in the world title picture, I think, that it's just like, I can't see him doing a storyline to where it's a developed storyline to where he comes out on top.
Okay, I can definitely understand that. I completely agree. We didn't get any traction on our around the ring is top five current Impact wrestlers. Most people don't know who's on Impact Wrestling. But guess what we're going to do? We're going to do our top five Impact wrestlers. And, let me see. Actually, there was one more topic I wanted to cover before we get into the top five of Impact wrestlers. It's more of what you think about this than anything. I think PWI put out their top 10 women's wrestlers this year.
I saw that shit show.
Yeah, so I'm going to go through the 10 and just honestly just tell me. Let me tell you what you think. So at 10, we got Kairi Sane. 9, we got Mayu Iwatani, which I don't know who that is. I've never seen her work, so I can't say she doesn't deserve to be in there or anything like that.
Right.
8, Nia Jax. 7, Carmella. 6, Shayna Baszler. 5, Asuka. 4, Io Shirai. 3, Charlotte Flair. 2, Alexa Bliss. 1, Ronda Rousey. I feel like someone from the WWE wrote this list.
Yeah.
Because any top 10 women's list is not a top 10 women's list without Tessa Blanchard.
Yeah, that was my thing. Like, you made a top 10 women's list based on what they've done for the last year. So a lot of people criticized Becky Lynch not being on the list because this is based on the last year. Yes, it comes out right before the end of the year, but Becky Lynch has pretty much only been at the top for what, the last 3 to 3 months maybe?
Two.
Yeah. So I can understand her and not have a fit about her not being in the top 10. I could see that point. But the fact that Tessa Blanchard is not in your top two to three for at least, there is a serious problem there. I mean, Rousey, okay, I don't agree with it, but whatever, she's been huge for you could get that there for reasons that are beyond wrestling, with like promotion and money and all that. Alexa Bliss, she had a good year. Charlotte had a good year. Io Shirai, I know nothing of her outside of the Mae Young Classic, so I can't comment on that. How the hell is Asuka even on this list? She's been non-existent.
She did put on that match at WrestleMania.
Okay, one match in the last year. Yeah, she's been non-existent for the last, what is it, 6 months now since Mania?
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, this is a very, it feels like a writer from the WWE wrote this list.
Shayna Baszler being on here, I have no problem with that. Carmella had a strong year. I have no problem with her being on the bottom of the list. I don't think Nia Jax should be on here. This Mayu Iwatani, I'm like you, I don't know anything, so no comment. And Kairi Sane being in the top 10, okay, sure, why not? I mean, she won the Mae Young Classic the first year, so she won a huge women's tournament, so if she squeaks in the top 10, I have no issues with it. But, like, Asuka shouldn't be on the list. Nia Jax shouldn't be on the list. And in my opinion, everybody should be knocked down a rung, because Tessa Blanchard, night and day, has been the best women's wrestler in the world this year. With what she's done with her not only character, her in-ring work, she never puts on a bad match. She tells a brilliant story, and she's at the top of her game. So
yeah, match of the night at All In. She had a great match at, I believe she had a really good match with Allie at the Slammiversary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she's going all over the world putting on good matches that you constantly see put up on social media and on YouTube that she's in that are getting incredible ratings. Like, the match is good. Like, I don't understand this, on how they can make a list, and this is supposed to be some kind of independent PWI, independent, we rank them based on God only knows what, looking at this list. But I would love to see their reasoning, if they put out a, I don't know, if they put out a statement or a comment, or I don't know how they do their thing, the person that wrote the list, if they've said anything. But I would love to know how Tessa Blanchard did not make their list.
Again, so I know who your one woman in would be, but if you only could take one of the 10 people out, who would you take out?
Asuka.
Okay. So, yeah, I would take out, personally, I would probably take out Asuka, just based on this year, and put in Tessa Blanchard. Asuka wore, but you got to think about it. She won the Royal Rumble. She won the Mixed Match Challenge. And then she was in the that huge, amazing match at WrestleMania. So she had a great kind of first half of the year.
She did. I'll give the Mania and the Rumble, I'll give her. That was good. The Mixed Match Challenge, I put zero anything into. That's more of a comedic thing. It's not, I don't know, that's not something I put any stake into whatsoever with any type of anything. The money at the end goes to a great cause on whatever that charity is, so it's good. I'm glad they do that aspect of it, but as far as the wrestling, I don't take that into account for anything, and if I was to make a list of best anything.
Okay. Definitely, I understand. I feel like next top five next week, I feel like we should do a top 10 next week, and it's going to be our top 10 women's wrestlers of the year. I don't think, I think we'll be at November 11th by then. I think we can basically discuss the year. Hold on. We're going to do that one after Survivor Series.
Okay.
Because we want to give the Ronda and Becky match a chance to change our mind, and we'll do that. That'll be our first top 10 of when we start December and we're doing our end of the year awards. Okay. So our top five next week will be top five tag teams not in the WWE.
Ooh, okay.
So this is the
It's
the top five tag teams of the alt WWE universe. So this leads us to our top five this week, which is our top five Impact wrestlers on our Impact show. I do want to say before we start it, I do like the direction of Impact going. Only thing is I don't like their champion. I'm personally hoping Brian Cage just goes ahead and loses to Sami Callihan, and then Brian Cage beats Johnny last name for the title, because I think right now your champion needs to be somebody that's kind of buzzworthy and name worthy, and Brian Cage just has the look, and I think he should be the champion. If anybody could be the champion for Impact right now, who would you take?
Pentagon Jr.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I definitely can see that. So let's talk about the top five. Did you have any honorable mentions?
I had one.
Oh.
Soo Young.
All right. My honorable mentions, because I decided to separate them, my honorable mentions are Rey Fénix and the OGs. And so who you got for number five?
At number five, I have Eli Drake.
Eli Drake, definitely understand. Unfortunately, we already pumped him up as being one of the best on the mic. He's one of those people that you can just throw to a dead crowd, give him the mic, and he'll get a reaction out of him.
Yeah, he's to compare him, if you don't watch Impact and you don't know a lot about Eli Drake, just to be honest with you, he compares very similar to The Miz with his mic work.
Very safe style.
Yeah, they work a very similar wrestling style as well. And they're very, very similar. And if that gives you any idea of what you're into, that's who I would compare him to.
All right. Well, now number five is Mr. OVE himself. I decided to go with him instead of the whole group, Sami Callihan. I think he does a lot to get buzz on Impact. He's really great on the mic. He really plays the heel very well.
Yeah, he didn't make my list, but I can definitely see him making a top five. If we did top five Impact characters, just based on character work and not doing anything else, he would easily make my top five.
All right, number four for you.
At number four, I have Rey Fénix. He's not necessarily my cup of tea when it comes to wrestling, but there is zero doubt at all this guy is a star. He can do anything you want him to do in the ring. He's got the look, the athletic ability. He can do it all. And I think it's just – if he was in – like WWE, he would be the guy that they want to be the next Rey Mysterio. He would be that guy. That's how good he is. And this may sound crazy, me being not really a fan, but I think at the end of Fénix's career, he will have a better career and more titles and all of that than Rey Mysterio.
Okay. That would be impressive to see. I do like Rey Fénix as a wrestler. Conan gives him the seal of approval. That generally means you're pretty freaking good. Number four, I got Brian Cage, Weapon X, The Machine. He basically does every big man finisher. I saw him in person. He's one of the biggest men I've ever seen in my life. And he can do, you know, shooting stars and backflips. He's the biggest, because I did my top five kind of on my favorite, but he's the biggest star in Impact Wrestling other than Pentagon. Because I just think he has that look. You know, people want to go see wrestling. People want to go see wrestling. They want to see people that look better than them. And he just looks better than everybody.
Yeah, there's no doubt there.
And who you got at number three?
At number three, I have Pentagon Jr. He's legit. He can work with anybody. He is a very hard hitting. He grinds at the character. He a very, I guess, devious might be the right word with the way he does some things in the ring and his arms and his arm snaps. And he's just very violent and enjoyable and a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Pentagon, we'll see him later on my list. Number three, I got LAX. It's the reason I came back to Impact Wrestling. Their vignettes with Conan, their in-ring work, their moveset, how exciting they are, how young they are, that all drew me back into Impact Wrestling. I haven't seen them have a bad match. I've seen them have okay matches, but I haven't seen them have a bad match. They wrestle all the world. They were in the Jericho Cruise against the Bucks. Big fan of LAX. Who you got at number two? I feel like they're on your list, so I'm not going to have you elaborate now. Who you got at number two?
At number two, I have LAX.
Go for it.
Yeah, every reason you just said. Tag team wrestling is my favorite wrestling. I would watch if they came out with like WWE ever did a tag team show, like an hour long tag team show, that would immediately jump to the top of my watch list. Tag team wrestling is my favorite. Floyd hit on so many topics on why they are where they are on both of our lists. Not to mention, I met these guys last year in Shawnee at a show with, at the time it was IWR, but now World Class. They wrestled the Young Guns, Cody and Chandler at the time. Yeah. And as a one night only with Impact crossover, I met the guys. They were incredibly cool to talk to, and they put on phenomenal matches. I've been a fan of these guys for a while now.
Yeah, definitely LAX. I mean, I think the dynamic with them being the young guys and Conan being with them, I just think it just works.
Yeah, it does. And when they paired them with Conan, it like on a more in-depth story, it took them to another level. They were good. It took them to great.
All right. My number two, Tessa Blanchard. The undeniable Tessa Blanchard. Who's your number one, sir?
My number one is Tessa Blanchard.
All right, so we can just both talk about her at the same time. She is that. She's undeniable. By being smart and not signing with the WWE, she has positioned herself as the top women's star outside of the WWE. I would compare her work with anybody inside of the WWE.
Yeah, I completely agree. We talked about her a lot when we were going about the PWI list. She's incredible. She, in my opinion, she's the best women's wrestler in the world, including WWE talent. I love Tessa. I love watching her work. And when we met her at StarCast and watching her work it all in, it was exactly what I would have expected. She's an incredible heel on TV. You meet her in person, she's incredibly nice. And she can do it all in the ring, and I look forward to her to continue to elevate and get the respect that she deserves, because if she wasn't on Impact, if she was doing what she was doing with WWE or something like that, she would be getting way more than respect than what she's getting now, and I think it's a travesty that she doesn't get the respect she deserves.
Tessa versus Sasha Banks is kind of my dream match, like one of my women's dream matches. I just think they both have that similar type of attitude and can go at each other. And Tessa, I like it. You know, AJ Styles, you know, got many WWE offers and turned them down before he was ready, and he built up his brand and became one of the biggest stars in the world and then signed. I don't know if Tessa Blanchard's thinking that way, but I would love it if she was, because, you know, when everyone was signing with WWE, she signed a long-term deal with Impact. You know, so
yeah.
It's like that's how you stick out. My number one is Mr. Cerro Miedo, Pentagon Jr. Anybody knows me knows I love this dude. He's had a huge year. He's been the Impact Champion, put on good match with Austin Aries, Kenny Omega at All In, Bound for Glory, you know, all the matches that Pentagon's in, He's put on a good match with Brian Cage. I think he's like I call him Mexican Stone Cold, but he's just so really good at what he does. Him and Brian Cage at the top would be ultimately, I think I really want him to turn heel. And I think because of his gimmick, even if he turned heel, the crowd would still be with him with the Sierra Meadow. And so, so he is definitely my number one.
All right.
So that is our top five of the week. If you want to hit us up with your top five, you can go to our Facebook page, Around the Ring OK, Twitter, Around the Ring OK, or hit us up on our Gmail at aroundtheringok@gmail.com. If we read it, we like it, we'll share it on the show. This is my time to do my plugs and my shout outs. You got our Twitter around the page and stuff. But go to the socialsuplex.com. Make sure you're listening to Keeping It Strong Style. Go to voicesofwrestling.com. Make sure you're listening to the Super J Cast. They will keep you up on New Japan. They will give you reviews. Like, I seriously stopped covering New Japan on this show because they do such a good job on their show. It's just like, that's who you should be listening to. Like, if something big happens in New Japan, I will definitely throw it out there or hit it up. But, you know, if you're into New Japan, that's who you should be listening to. Between the four guys on there, you got the young boy Josh, you got Jeremy on Keeping It Strong Style, and you got Damon and Joel on Super J-Cast. Between those four guys, they know everything about New Japan. So that's where you should go. Do you agree, Ryan?
I agree completely.
Yeah, so that's what I was like. We'll cover Impact. We'll cover, like I said, if something big happens in New Japan, we'll definitely cover it, especially if it has anything to do with being the lead or anything like that. But they do strong shows. Of course, our page that supports us, thechairshot.com. Greg DeMarco has a show. You can listen to me also on the Daily Show, Indie Wrestling Radio with the boy Jordan. He does an amazing job of keeping the page up and asking provocative questions. I just wanted to give my shout outs, and you say you shout out 83 weeks.
My two favorites are the Jim Cornette drive through, where he just answers fan questions and talks about anything and everything in the world of current wrestling, former wrestling, life, politics, sports. He covers it all. He answers what's asked of him. And the other one is What Happened When with Tony Schiavone.
Yes, so you definitely tune into those shows. And we appreciate you listening to us every week. Like I said, next week we'll do top five. Alternate WWE tag teams. Literally looking forward to that. If we get a chance, we'll talk about the Sea of Honor. If we get a chance to watch it, it's one of those things, Ryan. If you can watch it, watch it. If you can't, and I'd like to, if you can get through some NXT UK this week, do that too. Because I'd like to cover those two things next week, along with the week in WWE. Do you have anything else for us from today, Ryan?
I don't.
All right. So for Ryan the Great Aaron, this is your Floyd and Savior Floyd Johnson reminding you life may get you down. All I'm saying is, keep fighting, keep swinging, because it's all a work. Don't forget to kick out at two. We'll see you next time around the ring.